We're talking about biblical prophecy with Troy Anderson, author of several books, including The Military Guide to Armageddon, The Babylon Code. His website, which I invite you all to go to, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we will take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Our guest, Troy Anderson, this hour will take your calls. Troy, with what you know about biblical prophecy, does it scare you at all?
You know, I've been, you know, studying this topic really for about 4 decades. So, I don't really have a fear about it. I've come to peace with it. I know that I've seen so many miracles in my life, essentially, that I believe that whatever happens, God will take me through, you know, whatever is in the future. And so, I don't really have fear. I sort of view this as sort of the most exciting time in history to be alive, because we're watching these things unfold. We had this unprecedented opportunity, you know, as a believer to, you know, share the gospel and share these things. And so, I don't really have fear.
I think I know the answer to this, but do you believe that Revelation is accurate, that these things will come to be?
I think the ball's in our court. I think that, there's been many times in American history where it looked like all was lost. You know, look at World War II. I mean, the Nazis almost took over, you know, Europe and potentially the world. And, people sort of pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and fought the Nazis and stopped them. And, you know, then you had the Civil War, a similar kind of situation. The country was massively divided and was fighting and killing each other. And there was actually Abraham Lincoln actually called for a national day of repentance during the Civil War. And then things turned around and the country was saved and African-American slaves were freed. And so I think we're in a similar situation where the ball's in our court. If we do the right thing, if we turn back to God, I think that God can intervene again. When I interviewed Billy Graham here several years back, he said that when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of judgment, that the king and the people repented. And Billy Graham told me he believed the same thing could happen again, this time in America. And so I think we're at that, what's called a Nineveh moment. We're at that crucial moment in time where the ball's in our court.
In the movie A Christmas Carol, based on the old book of the same title, Ebenezer Scrooge is looking through the window of the family of Bob Cratchit. And he's got Tiny Tim in there jumping around doing his thing with his crutches. And the family's all happy and excited. It was on Christmas Eve. And he's there with the spirit, one of the spirits, and he goes to the spirit, Troy, and he says, are these things that will be or could be? And that's a little above what you've just been saying. We do have the right of choice, don't we?
Yeah, I absolutely love that play. It's one of my favorite movies. But yeah, I think that's what the spirit's saying to us. These are the things that could be. It's our decision. We decide what's going to happen here. And so if we make the right choices, that things could be, you know, good for our children and our grandchildren and our descendants.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Don in Kent, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hello, Donald.
Oh, Brother George. Great program, as always. I always want to thank you for your service, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Brother Troy, you know, it's impossible to get the mark of the beast if you have the seal of God in Revelation 7:3 and 9:4. What is the seal of God?
I'm not really an expert on the seal of God. I know it talks about that throughout the Bible, and that it talks about predestination, things of that nature. But maybe you know more about it.
Tell us about the seal, Don.
Okay, well, the seal of God, the word seal comes from a Greek word, oath, and it is in the Hebrew text. This is from the Strong's Comprehensive Concordance. It would be number 226, and it means a warning, a token, or a distinguishing mark. So God has a distinguishing mark. If you go to Exodus 13, 9 and 6, God's mark is in either the hand or the forehead, the exact same place that the Satan's mark is. He's the great counterfeiter. But the seal of God in Exodus 13, it deals with keeping the commandments. You'll have the commandments in your mind. In Revelation, I believe it's 12:17, it says that Satan is wroth with the woman, of course, being the church, that, you know, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the seal of God is going to deal with worship and obedience. We're promised in Revelation 3:10, I believe it is, that the whole world will be tested. And if we go to Revelations 2:13, Jesus says, I thank you that you have not denied my name nor my faith. And, of course, Jesus' name in Mark 2:28 is that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And you'll also find in, I think, Luke 6:5, three times it's mentioned that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And, of course, his faith was he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath for the worship. So Revelation 14:13, the third angel's message, is very specific. It says, worship God, creator of heaven and earth, and also gives you the most solemn warning in the history of the Bible. It says, do not worship the beast. And so this whole thing is tied into worship. It's not some vaccine, not some computer chip. That might be a modality to where they're going to track you and force you in, like what they're doing in Australia with gathering all those kids into a stadium and forcing vaccines on them. And you do a little more research on the vaccines. They're absolutely horrible what they're getting away with. But worship is the main focus here, and that's what we got to, you know, keep track of.
Interesting, Don. You know your biblical prophecy, to be sure. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, George. Thank you for accepting my call. We have such a great audience. And,
oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Don, for that explanation. That was very interesting. And, Troy, you're bringing some very fascinating research to the table. Thank you. Thank you again. And
yeah, thank you very much.
A comment and then a question. And I feel like there is biblical end times, and then there is psychological operations, which the military would call a PSYOP. And I feel like a lot that is happening could be biblical end times, okay, or it could be a psychological operation. And I want to be clear here, you can starve and die in biblical end times, but you can also starve and die with a PSYOP, a psychological operation. For example, I'll give a couple of examples real quick. The September 11 attacks. I always ask the question, why did it happen on September 11? Why not September 9 or September 15? Well, from a PSYOP point of view, 911, that's the number that you dial on the telephone for
emergencies.
An emergency. You
that's
see
right.
what I mean? And or we look at, you know, biblical end times say, well, we may have really bizarre weather. But then on the other hand, we have weather engineering. We know with chemtrails and HAARP and that type of thing. So, again, I almost feel like the relevant example would be the Wizard of Oz. You know, you pull aside the curtain, and then you see the hidden hand, the ruling elite that is perpetrating a PSYOP, okay? And I'm sure that they research Revelation and the Bible, you know, but they may be spinning it in such a way that it becomes a psychological operation. As Marshall McLuhan used to say, you know, perception is reality. And so you seemed to answer this at the end of the last segment. You said you were going to write a future book on mind control and, as I understand it, propaganda, that type of thing. And so I was wondering if you would elaborate on that. And again, I want to be very clear, you can die in biblical end times, but you can also die as a result of a PSYOP. And so are the hidden hand, the ruling elite, implementing a PSYOP, you know, with spinning Revelation, the creation of an Antichrist, that type of thing?
Interesting question for you, Troy.
Yeah, so you raise some very intriguing issues here. There's certainly based on the research I've done, there's certainly a lot of psychological operations that are our government is doing and other governments around the world, and these are designed usually for military kind of purposes and changing the thinking worldviews of masses of people. And And from my research, it appears that they, they work closely with, big tech and media and entertainment, and there's sort of working together kind of thing to manipulate the public. It's very interesting you bring up the psychological operation. I actually had a CIA guy meet with me, and he'd read one of my books, and he had very profound questions to ask about the whole thing, and some of them had, were quite intriguing about why he'd asked those questions. So I think you've hit on something that, that there could be a certain amount of psyops going on, even in the Bible prophecy realm. And we're living in a time of unprecedented deception. So yeah, this new book will be all about deception. The Bible says that, the deceptions in the end times will be so sophisticated that even the elect could be deceived. And so, I believe, we're beginning to watch some of this occurring today.
Troy, what's your take on COVID-19? There's no question it's real. It's a virus. It's out there. It's killing. It's getting people sick. But what's your take on it tied to biblical prophecy?
So there's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about plagues. Plagues is a judgment of God, and the plagues being part of what's going to happen in the book Revelation in the end times. And so with this particular situation, it sounds like based on what I've read that this may have come from this lab in China.
Yep, I think so. No question about it.
A bioweapon. And so the question is, what was it purposely released? Was it accidentally released? Is this part of some kind of psychological operation, or are they using this pandemic for greater controls and for the purposes of the deep state, the powers behind the scenes kind of thing? I think they probably are. And it's a super sophisticated, if this is some kind of psychological operation, it's a very super sophisticated one, and they've planned it out probably for a long time. But, we really don't know what's really happening here. And, we all have our theories, but it's a very strange thing. But the Bible does talk about, many plagues that characterize the end time.
And I don't think we're getting the answers we're looking for from government officials. Do you?
Yeah, there's so much misinformation and it's just the ton of disinformation and propaganda from the government today. And so it's that's part of why we're writing this new book on deception, is to help people sort of ferret out what's the truth, what's reality, and how to navigate all this that we're being bombarded with today.
First time caller Karen in Houston, Texas. Welcome, Karen. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was going to say this is the first time the caller got through, and it's perfect because Troy addressed some of the issues that I have concern, and that is our free will. I hear too many Christians saying, God is in control. I don't have to do anything. And I think that's why we are where we are. That wasn't the roots of our nation, of our founders who gave all and became targets, nor our military or border patrol or people who stand up for our rights. So I thought perhaps you could address that issue, our free will involved in all the negativity that is trying to destroy this nation, the hub of the world that other nations look to. I worked with a lot of foreign students, my undergraduate, then graduate, and I still keep contact. They think we've lost it. But they feel that if we do, they do as a nation.
That's right. Well said, Karen. And our popularity around the world, as still the greatest country ever, is waning a bit, but we're going to get that back. But go ahead, Troy. I'll let you address some of her concerns about free will.
Yeah, I think you've hit on a key point here that, for decades, we've sort of been apathetic and took for granted our freedoms and our liberties. And many of us, we didn't go into government. We didn't go into the media. You know, we didn't try to impact our country. And so now we're sort of paying the price for this. And so, but what was very encouraging is that so many people are beginning to wake up and get involved and you know, take a stand for our freedoms and our liberties. It's you know, this is very important, very crucial time to take action. And like you mentioned, I mean, our founding fathers, you know, sacrificed their lives. I mean, you know, my dad was in the Korean War. I have many ancestors who fought in, you know, pretty much every war we've had, and there's been a lot of bloodshed, a lot of sacrifice to you know, create this country and preserve these freedoms, and we've taken them for granted, and you know, so now it's time to stand up, be bold, be courageous, and do what's right.
Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Welcome, Frank.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Thank you,
November,
sir.
November, it'll be 17 years with you.
Yeah, we're rolling.
And during that 17 years, the Ark of the Covenant and the Antichrist is mostly on my mind, the mystery of it. Now, the Antichrist, does he necessarily, if it's not technology, does the Antichrist necessarily have to have an IQ, a high IQ,
not
like 180 or something?
No, not necessarily.
Because you could rule out many of the people who... who they said was one of the Antichrist. And then the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant mystified me so many years. Now, I don't want you to laugh, but I heard on 1100 AM, which is out of Cleveland. I get my best reception out of Cleveland for your show. There was, in between commercials, there was a broadcast. Look, I don't take drugs and I don't drink. It said it must have been a court in time, a radio broadcast court in time, that the Ethiopian government gave custody of the Ark of the Covenant to the Israeli government. Now, all along, I thought it might be out. It wasn't in that little church where the priest presides. It was in a field across from the church. Now, does the Ark of the Covenant have anything to do with end times? Must it be revealed before the end times? And possibly, could Almighty God have taken it to heaven to keep it out of the hands of evil people?
I still think the Ark of the Covenant is tucked away somewhere. But, Troy, I don't think it has anything to do with end times prophecy. Do you?
The you know, the Bible does talk about the rebuilding of the temple. And so there's, I interviewed a retired general here a couple of years ago who had gained information that the money's supposedly been raised in Israel, and they've supposedly actually set aside some of the stones and different things they might need. And of course, you got the Temple Institute that's put together many of the instruments. You know, the Ark of the Covenant's one of the key things. If they actually possess this, you know, nobody knows for sure. There's all kinds of different theories, like the one that the church in Africa, or could that be a replica? I actually did some stories on a anthropologist that studied this whole issue here about a decade ago, written some books on it. Tudor Parfitt, if you remember his name. So he'd looked into this and sort of tried to track down the lost Ark, but, you know, of course he hasn't found it. So
hold on for a second, Troy. I'll let you finish up that, and we'll take final calls when we come back on Coast to Coast. And welcome back. George Norrie with you, along with Troy Anderson. Our final segment here as we take calls talking about biblical prophecy. A couple of his books include The Babylon Code, The Military Guide to Armageddon. And, Troy, we were talking about COVID-19 and whether it's tied into end times prophecy. I'll let you wrap that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so many people are curious about how this pandemic, this, you know, all these tragedies we've seen, you know, ties into the Bible prophecy. And the Bible, of course, you know, talks a lot about plagues, especially in the end times, as one of the things that transpires. And so, you know, nobody knows for sure, but you know, could this be, you know, one of those plagues? You know, we've seen many plagues, you know, throughout history that have, you know, the Black Plague and, you know, the Middle Ages, that had a very devastating impact on Europe. And So it's an intriguing question, but at the very least, you know, we're seeing the, you know, the powers that be, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, using this, and governments around the world using this to gain greater control over us,
right.
Remove our freedoms and that kind of thing. And so the question is, are we moving into this global end time system, some kind of one world system? And only time will tell, but we're seeing signs of that.
Let's go back to the calls east of the Rockies. Cynthia's with us in Massachusetts. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi. I was trying to find out in the Bible about people are distracting me at times, and it seems that it's almost like, and with everything that's happening with COVID and everything, that it's like almost like inducing so much fear when I believe in the writings of God and so forth. I'm a bit confused, you know, on how to survive through these times.
How do we survive these times, Troy?
Yeah, so what we put together in the Military Guide to Armageddon is essentially we went through the Bible and sort of combined that with the things that Colonel learned in 3 decades in the military. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual warfare, putting on the armor of God. It talks about drawing close to God, you know, relying on the whole power of the Holy Spirit for provision, protection. And so this book sort of takes you through what the military calls the making of a warrior process. In the military, you know, they transform you from a civilian into a soldier who can fight in wars. And in spiritual terms, this book's sort of designed to take you through the process to, you know, turn you into a warrior of God. You know, the version of the Bible I'm reading right now, it constantly refers to God as the Lord God of armies. And there's all this, you know, writings in the Bible about the angels being organized in military fashion. And so, you know, the Bible is sort of an incredible book with all these profound insights, but the main thing is that, you know, God loves us, and he has a great plan for us, and then he'll take us through whatever we're going through. So, you know, the message is the closer you draw to the Lord, the easier and calmer and more assurance you'll have if we truly are indeed moving into the end times.
We have Cornelius now in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, our friend. How are you?
Hey there, George and Troy. Boy, Troy, you're hitting everything, and I just want to say, all George, your coast-to-coast callers are right on top of everything. I don't know if Troy was a military man, but he mentioned his dad served in the Korean War, and my dad did too. And Troy, my dad died in 2020 of COVID-19, and I was exposed to it, but I never did get sick or anything, and thank the Lord for that and stuff. And I just tell you, like I tell everybody, I'm the God, guns, and gold man, the Bible, bullets, and beans man.
Hmm.
And my question for you, now, to me, I think Communist Chinese Party released this virus to destroy Trump and to destroy America, and, of course, they're destroying our freedoms. And you can see each company now are mandating this, and the government is mandating it. But Sweden was the only country that didn't do these mandates and lockdowns and stuff, and they kept their economy going. All our little small mom-and-pop businesses have gone out of business. They shut down the churches, but they kept all those big-box stores open and everything, and like the virus wouldn't spread to the big-box stores. And you see where the Taliban is in Afghanistan, they ain't wearing no mask or nothing like that. So do you think this is like a false flag operation to get us to the mark of the beast, which I believe is the COVID-19 shot? So God bless you, and thank you, George and Troy.
Interesting thoughts, Troy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for your comments there. And I mean, it very well could be. I mean, only time will tell if this is truly some kind of, you know, gigantic global psychological operation combined with, you know, the colonel who I co-wrote the Military Guide to Armageddon with, he likes to talk about asymmetrical warfare. You know, and of course, you know, Sun Tzu, a great Chinese military general, wrote the Art of War. And he said that, you know, essentially war is all about deception. And so are we in the middle of some kind of asymmetrical warfare that's going on? Is this the, you know, the beginning of these end-time events? Is this a planned operation? I mean, we just don't know the answers to these questions. But, you know, the Bible talks about this great deception that will occur in the end times, and we're certainly seeing that occurring.
We sure are. Carl's in Boston, Mass. Hi, Carl. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And thank you very much. I forget your name. I just had a blank. Anyway.
Call him Troy. Troy's his name.
Troy, I'm sorry. I was thinking Tom, but Tom, never mind. Troy, yeah. Thank you so much for what you're doing. I just be real quick, but I just wanted to say that God is with you always. And I refer to Isaiah, which is prophetic. Chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Through the fire and the water and everything, you know, God will be with you with faith. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Nice to hear you come across and say that. Next up, we've got Sean in Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Sean.
Hi. I think to understand the kind of psychological warfare and asymmetrical propaganda warfare being waged, we have to look a lot closer to home. And I think we're being subjected to the lies about every issue by people in this country. And I think part of the psychological warfare is to say everything done by this government is angelic, saintly, godly. And everything done by Russia, China, North Korea, Iran is demonic and satanic. And I think that's the real problem. I'd like to recommend an important article called Afghanistan, the Forgotten Proxy War. Afghanistan, the Forgotten Proxy War. It shows that we've been totally ourselves brainwashed by the American government. It points out that the United States, not the Soviet Union, supported the fundamentalist terrorist in Afghanistan since 1979 in one of the biggest U.S. CIA operations with a massive lethal arms, including Stinger missiles sent to the
They were called the Mujahideen at the time, weren't they?
They were called the Mujahideen, but then they changed their aliases down through the years. They were the same thing, and they included the Taliban.
That's right.
That we're talking about, and it was Zbigniew Brzezinski, this elitist who admitted and bragged about creating these terrorists back in 1979 that have gone all the way through to the present and being used by the United States to overthrow secular governments like
and they all turned on us, Carl. They've done that before. Carl Sean from Lorain, Ohio. Let's go to Bill in Los Angeles. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. I've got a lot in common with Troy because I'm a former Southern California newspaper writer, including occasionally for the Daily News and Columbia J School, class of 86. And I'm intrigued by a couple things. First of all, I've also studied the Bible, learning Greek and Hebrew a long time ago. And I came to the conclusion, based on a lot of good scholarship, that the mark of the beast actually referred to the Emperor Nero. And that's been demonstrated pretty solidly for a couple hundred years. So I think the whole evangelical biblical prophecy thing has become, unfortunately, a racket in which people like Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye continuously rake in millions of dollars on claims that don't come true, and they just write another book and keep making money. And it's basically because there's no scientific accountability for their methods. It's not science. It's just – I'm not sure what it is. But as a journalist, Troy, I wonder why you aren't interested in exposing some of these, you know, downright fraudulent claims.
Yeah, you're referring to the preterist view that, you know, many of the events in the book Revelation were fulfilled in the first century. And that's one of the viewpoints, you know, 666, I think, was Gematria for Nero's name. Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier in the show, there's been numerous people over the last, you know, 2,000 years that have, you know, made predictions and, you know, believing that, you know, this was going to be the end or some kind of major prophetic event was going to happen. and they've all been wrong. But what I've tried to do over the last decade is investigate, is there truly evidence? And if you read my books, you'll find that, you know, I've tried to interview the most credible sources possible, using mainstream media sources, prominent books, New York Times bestsellers, and try to compile all the best and most credible evidence. Is this really happening? So that's what I've sought to do with these books. I haven't really felt it was my mission to, you know, expose anything. I mean, you know, of course, I'm an investigative journalist, but these books are focused on, is this really happening? Is there evidence this is really occurring?
I don't think science can back that up anyway, can it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Bible is a very mysterious book. You know, it's talking about, you know, predictions, and there's a certain amount of interpretation that goes into this, and are we correctly interpreting, you know, these things? So you can't scientifically prove this, but you can sort of look at the signs and try to put together the best analysis possible. Is this really happening?
West of the Rockies, Brian's with us in the state of Washington. Hi, Brian.
Hey. Hi, George. Hi, Troy.
Hey there.
And I got my Bible sitting here. I'm going to just read. I didn't know I was going to get through, so I got to put my reading glasses on. It's going to be really quick.
How many? What's your power on your reading glasses?
I think it's like 300. They're cheap ones.
That's not bad.
So I think I can afford better prescriptions of it. But
give us a little
the
synopsis.
That I always go to is, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. And I always go to that because who's given the instructions to Moses? And I really believe that, you know, like we see in, you know, United States of, like, say, the Grand Canyon and everything that's it's carved out. I think it all happened in one shot, one person. Just, you know, okay, somebody was giving them instructions. Now, who's that person giving the instructions to Moses? And so I was just going to see what Troy had to say about that.
Well, I would guess the people who give instructions, it was God, wasn't it, Troy?
Yeah, the story of Moses is, a very fascinating story. You know, he actually, you know, according to the Exodus and the Bible, met God and was given the law, the Ten Commandments, and then of course, you know, confronted the Pharaoh and the 12 plagues of Egypt, and you know, taking the Israelites to the Red Sea and God parting the Red Sea. I mean, it's an absolutely fantastic story, and you know, of course, you know, Charlton Heston did a phenomenal job playing Moses in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Incredible movie. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite Bible stories.
Charlton Heston was great in all those old movies. Ben-Hur, The Works, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, Planet of the Apes. That was my favorite movie as a kid. That may explain some of this.
It's classy stuff. Troy, we're almost done. Let's get out your website again and where people can get your books.
Yeah, it's troyanderson.us and battle-ready.org.
And the military guide to Armageddon is available?
Yeah, it's in some bookstores. It's a number one bestseller. It hit 129 out of 33 million books on Amazon shortly after it came out.
That's fantastic.
Back in January.
That is fantastic. And you're working on another book with the Colonel, right?
Yeah, we're working on the second book in the military guide series on deception, navigating deception in the end times.
Super. Troy, thanks for being on the program. Keep in touch with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great honor.
Absolutely. Up next, Vernon Mulhubble joins us, the psychic palm reader, and we're going to be taking calls later in the show. We'll be back.